You've put a line through a team. Can't win
I have, can't win it. Yeah, I don't even think they can make the semis. So I think the Broncos are done.
I'm still on them, and I'll tell you why. After 13 rounds in 2025, guess what their win-loss record sat at? So today we're going to talk about the player survey and some pretty damning results there. What else have we got, Steve?
Mate, we've got some huge matchups this weekend with major top eight ramifications, along with our Origin stars backing up after a week off for Origin.
And you're putting a line through a team.
Major premiership favourite. I'm marking them no chance to make the top eight.
Can't wait. And a bit of a conspiracy around why the NRL might be pushing for having more tries and what that actually means. I found that fascinating. We'll talk about that. A bit of Moneyball. Let's get into it. So the player survey, some of these results are fascinating. This is the biggest one. The 84% of players believe referees are having a greater impact on match results. What the hell? So just about, that's like the overwhelming majority think the refs are having an impact on the result. That's not good.
No, that's a huge red flag, isn't it? I mean, it's a sport. The referees are there to make sure it's an even contest and make sure that both teams, are given the opportunity to whoever performs the best wins. So for the players themselves to be thinking that the referees have got too big an impact, this is a scary road we're heading down here for Ninehawk.
Yeah, and I mean, this is what we've been talking about all year. It's interesting the players are saying the same. I mean, you talked about it the other day, talking about Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster talking about it on their podcast, saying they didn't like it. We've heard Ricky Stewart talking about how he confused he was. And so there is an overwhelming negative sort of view on where the game's heading at the moment. And this player survey just further serves to heap a bit of pressure on the NRL. I'm sure they're just looking for the best bang for their buck, which is understandable, but it's amazing the extremes that they've gone to. Another stat, this is the RLPA survey, 96.5% of players believe the overall match speed has increased or significantly increased, and 77.5% reported more continuous play. Now, we've talked about how the tries come into it. That's probably not that big a one. 94.5% of players say match fatigue has increased, particularly two-thirds, so particularly later in the game. And two-thirds of players fear they are more susceptible to injury in this high-octane modern game. Yeah, so they're going to, like, the article I saw today, Clint Newton was saying that the NRL, particularly under Peter Volandis and Andrew Abdo's leadership, have been very receptive to hearing the players' opinions and getting thoughts and making changes. So it'd be interesting to see how those conversations go. But yeah, thoughts on that, mate?
Look, we've continued to say it the whole time. There's no doubt that the looming TV deal's got a huge part to play in the way the game's being refereed. It's disappointing in a way the NRL, and I know they never will come out and admit it, but it's disappointing that they've treated us a little bit like mugs, for to be honest. And by the sounds of it, they've treated the players the same. You know, the players are finally now starting to get a bit of a voice around, you know, their opinion on it, their concerns around injury, their concerns about their lack of enjoyment. You know, for some of them, it sounds like it's turning into a bit more of a paycheck than the enjoyment of playing the sport that they grew up loving. So it's a bit of a concern. Look, there's big talk. All of the major media outlets are putting bids in. They're all trying to outdo each other, which is obviously going to continue to go until the ink's on the paper and a decision's been made. But for mine, it just exposes the league to too many, you know, gossip sessions, too many tinfoil hat conspiracies. But then the bottom line, at the end of the day, if the players aren't enjoying what they're doing, that's going to turn into the results that we see on the field. And if they're not enjoying it, we're not going to enjoy it watching it. You know, you've mentioned a lot of mates that have turned off the game. You know, I was being down south at a function. There's a lot of blokes talking about the game down there and just, you know, they don't watch it at all anymore. A couple of them that I was shocked were rusted on NRL fans have started watching AFL.
What?
Yeah, it was disappointing to hear, to be honest with you. So, yeah, look, I don't know whether this is going to be let's get the deal done, signed, and we go back to normal world or not. At the end of the day, we had our dig, or I certainly did, at Clint Newton in the RLPA. I think they're toothless tigers. I think this is just his way of getting on screen again. But someone's going to do something, because I think we're heading down a path that someone's going to get themselves in trouble with some refereeing decisions. Because they're just exposing themselves to too much uncertainty and too many murky questions for mine, bud.
Yeah, seen plenty of Queensland fans, I'm sure, and maybe just both sides of the border talking about Ashley Klein and some of his decisions evening up matches. So this is interesting. They said 1 year trial of this new way of doing it. So that's a bit of a backpedal. But this is even more interesting based on what you just said then. So I reached out to a mate I used to work with to see if I can find out some data, and he didn't have all the channels, but he said the Fox Sports NRL numbers are up year on year.
Unbelievable. Someone's certainly enjoying it.
Yeah. Now, we all know those people meters are done by a statistical analysis. It's not like they're in everyone's home. So sometimes those things can be an anomaly, but it also maybe suggests that some of those people that they're trying to reach, which is not the rusted on fans, those people on the periphery to make it more entertaining are jumping in. Now, again, I'm having no conversations where that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah. No, nor am I, mate. And you would expect the numbers coming out of the TV to be accurate, because it's in their best interest to be downplaying it while they're negotiating for the next slot of rights. Mm-hmm. So you'd expect them to be the same. So all I can think of, mate, is while they're losing the rusted out, the rusted on watches, that they're getting the younger crowds in, because they find it more exciting that, you know, they're used to a bit more of the American sport, the higher score line, the quicker action, the T20 cricket sort of model, I guess. So potentially that they're getting it more from the younger crowd, mate. I was really pleased to see, but I was really shocked to see, just watching the Vision of Origin 1 pre-game, how many young people were going to the game, both, you know, early 20, late teens, male and female, going to the game. So I thought that was a real good sign for the future of the game. So potentially, you know, the younger crowd is what they're aiming this at, and that's why the viewership's up.
Yeah, and if it increases participation rates, then that's also really important, because I know we've both talked about our fear for that, given with the concussions and so on, and other sports are really sort of taking off. So mind you, football, which is perceived safer. I know an old football mate of mine having some CTE issues, so I don't think anyone's going to be spared from that side of things. So the conspiracy I heard today, just flicking through social media, was that one of the reasons for more tries is it creates more commercial opportunity. That's one advantage the AFL does have, is that the more goals that are kicked, the more opportunity to take a quick break for the commercial networks. It doesn't make a difference to the pay TV operators, but creating more tries creates more in-play opportunities to make money, to push the price up. So that makes sense. But then, you know, like if they're saying, well, they're going to trial it for you and then roll it back, then how are the channel that actually does the end deal going to feel about that when they've been sold a lie, basically? So really interesting stuff. But if that's what they're doing, they're changing the fabric of the game to create more commercial revenue, that's just a joke.
Yeah, you can't have that, mate. I will be honest, I didn't really pick up until you mentioned it to me earlier before the show, but I watched Origin on Channel 9, and I don't normally watch Channel 9. I watch it through KO. And because Queensland just went on absolute blitz in those first 20 minutes, it did feel like it was ad after ad after ad. And I made the comment while I was watching it, Christ, there's another frigging ad on here. What are we doing? So, look, I hope that's not what it is. Genuinely hope that that's not what it is. I hope that they've made these decisions because they think that this will produce a better spectacle and attract more more people to games, more fans, more people buy merchandise, etc. If they've done it to sell more ad space, that'd really be a disappointment for mine.
Yep, but also not surprising in the slightest, given some of the things that Volandis has done in racing has been met the same way. He's done some incredible things. He's introduced some things that have really boosted the sport, particularly in Sydney. But at the same time, there's plenty of people that aren't happy, including the key stakeholders like trainers. Some of the other stories floating around in the racing world. So let's hope that we're not starting to head down that path with him, because he's certainly done a lot of good things. But if we go too far, well then, yeah, it's at what expense? Let's move on to a bit of footy, Steve.
Yep.
You've put a line through a team. Can't win
I can't win it. Yeah, I don't even think they can make the semis. So I think the Broncos are done. So last year's premiers, I know it's a little bit easy to say after they've just lost to the Mighty Dragons, but if you look at where they're sitting on the ladder at the moment, they've had 5 wins, 7 losses. Now, the last 2 years, you've needed almost 50. So last year was 13 wins. The year before was 12 wins. So for mine, they've got to win. Still got to win another 7 games. This week's the Titans. Last week, they play the Broncos. So if you give them those 2 wins... they've got to win 5 games out of their middle 10 matches. But listen to this run that they've got. They've got South, the Roosters, Sharks, Panthers, Cowboys, Knights, Finns, Warriors, Raiders, Storm. Now, for you to think that they're going to pinch 5 out of that 10 when they're playing the quality of football they're playing at the moment, considering they're still going to have some Origin-affected matches in the next sort of month or two, Carrigan's gone down injured. I just cannot see them jumping up and getting another 7 wins from the remainder, and that's if 12 wins will get you in. If you look at the ladder at the moment, the Storm, the Raiders, the Tigers, the Cowboys are all sitting out of the 8. So depending on who you talk to, everyone thinks they're still a red-hot chance, so they're going to win their fair share of games. So, you know, it'll definitely be 12 wins, potentially 13. I can't see them winning the 5 out of that middle 10 games, even if you do give them the Titans and the Bulldogs as wins, mate.
All right. I'm still on them, and I'll tell you why. After 13 rounds in 2025, guess what their win-loss record sat at?
You're going to tell me 5-7, aren't you?
5-7.
Yeah. I'll give you 5-7. What I won't give you is Payne Haas's isn't still 100%, even though he was phenomenal against the Dragons.
He wasn't 100% at the back end last year either, mate.
True. But yeah, I just can't see him getting it done, mate. I know they've got some sensational players, but they're just not in form at the moment. There's no doubt that there's a few players that aren't gelling well together. You know, all the media talk around Walsh and Reynolds not being able to be in the 17 together, I think that's a little bit of bullshit, truth be told. But just with the amount of other teams that are going to be fighting for that bottom half of the 8, and then go a step further, they are absolute buckleys of making the top 4. Even if they do rally and make the bottom half of the 8, there's just no chance that the Broncos are going to do any damage this year, mate.
Plenty of people saying the exact same thing this time last year. I remember it well. Wasn't that when they went out on the piss and had a bit of a bonding session, and the Harbour Cruise or whatever, and then they went on a bit of a roll. So, be interesting. Yep. The other thing, of course, that's got thrown up, which is inevitable, is this has happened to Madge before. Like they talked about the South won, and the next year they came 7th, and the next year they came 12th. But what they also failed to include is that Sam Burgess left, and that's a fairly big hole to fill. Payne Haas will leave at the end of this year, so that's a significant hole. At the same time, that team is just packed full of class and depth, and that. Apart from some of the old boys moving on next year, that's going to continue into next year when they've got a couple of guys heading their way as well.
Yeah, I don't think this is a Maguire thing. There was always talk out of or most of the clubs, and Maguire's been to, that he wears the players out. He's just so full on. I don't think it's that at all. You know, Payne has come out after the game and said, we know what we're going to do. Everyone around here is walking like they own Brisbane, and they're just not playing like that during the 80 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a Maguire thing. I just think they've got a few guys there with some egos that are out of control. You know, he's dropped Ezra Mann this week, so that'll be interesting. But, yeah, I just can't see them pulling it together. You know, I'm happy to go back for Monday's show and look at the draw that they had last year when they come home. But you've also got to remember there were three games at the back end of the season that went down to the wire that they could have lost all three, but well done. They won. They won the grand final. I just can't see them pulling together seven wins out of that remaining 12 weeks of football, mate.
Last year, their five wins at the start of the year were Roosters, Cowboys, Tigers, Dolphins and the Doggies, whereas this year it's Storm, Dolphins, Gold Coast, Tigers, Doggies. So similar, except the places on the table of those teams is a little bit different. So, yeah, interesting stuff. But we'll make sure we pull up this when they're charging towards the finals, and we'll see where it heads.
So, yeah, we go.
Mate, their confidence would be shattered after getting done by the Mighty Dragons at the weekend. There's no doubt about that. Shout out what's his name? Oh, I've forgotten already. I only met him this afternoon online. Ben Couchman, the dad of those two impressive boys. He gave us a bit of a like, and we had a quick chat after one of the snippets from the episode that he thought was good. So, like I said to him in the message, he must be super proud, not just of them as footballers, but the men they've become. So, yeah, good to get some St. George royalty liking the show as well.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, mate. You must be pretty proud. The way the two young fellas have handled themselves since they've come in, they've shown a real maturity and leadership qualities from the get-go. So I hope they're in red and white for a long time to come. It'll be a big test. Obviously, last week they took on Payne Haas, and while Haas had an absolute monster game, that four-pack did really well. This week they got Fanua Blake, another Origin and rep front rower up against them. So there's no doubt that they'll see that as another challenge and another way to, stamp their reputation in the game. So looking forward to seeing that one on Sunday. Should be a cracker.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of crackers, Thursday night, Kieran Foran signs on for 3 years. Massive news out of Manly. And when people say, oh, he's too young, he's only just been out of the game, I can't remember who it was, but they rattled off the ages. Oh, actually, it was Paul Crawley, rattled off the ages of some of the best coaches when they started. He talked, Wayne Bennett was 35 when he started at the Raiders in 87. But before that, he was coaching in the Queensland, the QRL competition back in the day, before it was a Q Cup, with great success in the teams he was coaching there. Phil Good was 32. I don't know if you saw that one and can remember who else.
No, I didn't. But, yeah, there's certainly a few. Ricky Stewart's another one that comes to mind.
Yeah, Ricky Stewart, and he won a premiership.
Yeah. So I don't see that being...
Trent Robinson was 35.
Yeah, another one. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I don't see that as a big issue, mate. I see that more as the man in any skill set. The only thing I was worried about with Foran is he hadn't done his apprenticeship. You mentioned a lot of those players... a few of them went straight in, Gould and Stewart especially, but I think Stewart may have coached a 21s or somewhere along the line, but he went straight in, but he seems to have handled it really well. You know, when you see him, even when they've lost a game, even when they've won a game, but they haven't won it the way he wanted them to. So the big thing for me is the amount of respect the players have got for him.
Absolutely. You can tell
it's just absolutely off the charts. So, look, wish him really well. It's good for the game that Manly's strong because everyone loves to hate Manly. So
is it good for the game?
It is good for the game, mate. How can you be dirty on those Travoy Ridge boys? They're two nicer fellas.
They are. Tom did a good job on the analysis on the weekend as well, I thought.
He picked
the Dragons.
Winner. Yeah, until he got to the Dragons. Yeah, he did well. But, this is really good for them to do it before a home game. This will be a testing one for them. South welcome back Murray from Origin, then Campbell Graham and Brendan Smith are two massive inclusions from injury. And obviously Ola Kawatu will come back for Manly. So there's a bit of Tole Kola should be back as well. So they've asked for an exemption for him. So look, that should be a cracking match. I think that's got pretty big top eight and top four ramifications on that one. So yeah, it's good timing for them to give Foran the job and have a really cracking night at Brookvale Oval for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of cracking nights, the Four Pines Brewery are putting on a special night. They're calling it Foz Pines Brewery for the night, and they're doing everything Kieran Foran. So if you enjoy a pre-game beer, one of the better breweries down there, although there is a couple of options, that would be a good night out for the Sea Eagles fans.
Yep.
Friday, there are some good matchups this weekend.
Yeah, this is genuinely a cracking game, a cracking round of footy, this.
Yeah, Storm suddenly look like they're back in form, although the Roosters were pretty poor on the weekend. Playing against a Knights team that are full of confidence. I mean, my tipping has just gone to absolute shit, so I'm probably not the right person to ask, but this is a hard one. Down in Melbourne, the Knights haven't won there since, I think it was 2016, I saw.
Yep.
Tough one.
Yeah, it will be, mate. Nick Meaney out for Manly. But the big one for me, Sandon Smith. So, you know, we spoke about him on Monday night, how well he'd been playing. For him to be out of that number seven jersey for Newcastle, I haven't got it on me how long he's out for. But for me, with all that attacking firepower that the Knights have, I really liked his calming, you know, cool head, really controlled the team around the field. So he's going to be a huge out. No doubt Fletcher Sharp in six and Brown to seven. There's the firepower even more so. So if they can just continue to keep their cool head, kick the corners and control the game when they need to, it's going to be a tough night for the Storm. But I've probably got Storm ahead just the way they've been playing these last few weeks. I think it's finally clicked. I think the penny's dropped around the new style of game. So I like the Storm, but this won't be an easy game for them. The Knights will be turned up, and if it becomes a shootout, believe it or not, for the first time in a lot of years, I think Newcastle's got more points in them than the Storm. But I just think the Storm might just have that little bit of game management in them with Sandon Smith out.
Yep. I'm going to go the Knights, so the Storm are definitely going to win. Raiders Roosters, like I said on Monday, I think the Raiders are on the rise. Roosters have gone a bit hot and cold after they had a good run there for a while. But maybe it was just because there still is a bit of a mental block on the Storm and the Panthers. They've just got an awful record against over the last 5, 6, 7 seasons. But again, should be good. Good to see the Raiders on a Friday night too. An absolute rarity.
Yeah, it is a rarity. Look, for mine, this is a big game for the Roosters. So, you know, they've been trucking along really well. But to go down on a Friday night into Canberra, it'll be freezing cold. They've got guys there that are clearly will have one eye on Origin 2. You know, Tedesco hasn't been tremendous over this Origin period. You know, so hopefully that for the Roosters fans' sake, they turn up ready to go. But I can see Canberra, you know, they really could do with Josh Papali back, just a little bit of, you know, a heavyweight up there up front against that Roosters pack. But I really like the Raiders, mate. To your point, I think those young fellas have just got that spring in their step and a little bit more confidence. So, yeah, I like the Raiders at home on a cold, miserable Friday night.
It's not that they might get away with no rain, but it does look like it's going to get pretty close to zero on Friday night. So it's going to be a cold one.
It's going to be a cold one.
Mate, those home fans down there, they are hardcore. A mate of mine used to go, they reckon they used to take their full thermal sleeping bags.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Can you imagine having the latte in Bondi Friday morning and then hopping on the bus to go down and play Canberra that night?
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah.
No thanks, mate. Yeah, no. I got a hemi issue that week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've got a couple of Queensland derbies. The Cows and the Finns. Cool. Yeah. they're just hot and cold, the Cowboys, and maybe this is why that they still haven't given Peyton a new deal, because it's kind of been the story of the last – since 2022 when they made the prelim, it's kind of been the story of their season since then, hasn't it?
It has been, mate, yeah. I think he's done good enough to get a re-sign as far as results go. It'd be interesting to see what the players – you know, the players haven't really come out either way on him. But this is a big test. You know, you look at who's coming back from the Dolphins. They've got Hammer, Herbie, Nikarima, Plath, Cobbo, Flegler. They're in pretty impressive half a dozen NRL and rep players there. So that's a big, obviously, the Cowboys will get Reuben Cotter back from Origin duties. But the Dolphins, for me, out of all four Brisbane Queensland teams, the Dolphins, for me, just look far too good for all of them. You know, they look like they're rolling along nicely. They look like they're getting better. We spoke about their defence over the last couple of weeks. So for mine, and again, similar to the Roosters-Raiders game, this has got big ramifications back into the season. You can grab 2 points here and choose for a mate. So I got the Dolphins there. But yeah, Cowboys turn up, could be anyone's game.
Yeah, absolutely. You look through the Dolphins list when they're fully fit, that they are starting to have a side that looks as well balanced as the Panthers and the Warriors. Their forward pack is elite. Then they've got Jeremy Marshall-King, Kurt Donoghue, Tom Gilbert, Ray Stone on the bench. Talk about covering it. Oh, and Felice Kaufusi. So talk about covering all bases. They shift a couple of those guys in and around the back line if they need to. And then they've got Brad Schneider, who's been, I don't know if he's played in the grand final, but he's been part of those premiership squads for the Panthers the last few years. And with some pretty handy players waiting in the wings in the extended bench as well. So they are certainly looking good, and it wouldn't be surprising to see them go on a bit of a run, really cement their place in the top four, because that lineup just looks like it's prime.
It is, mate. And the big thing with the Dolphins is they've all started to have some big game experience. You look across that side, like not only are they, you know, got the names, but they've all starting to hit test football now. They're all starting to play Origin football now. You know, for the Dolphins to have a record number in this season's just a testament to that. So come the big time of the year when we hit September and the big games are on, they're going to get a packed Suncorp Stadium to play. If they can make that top four and get a home semi, they're going to be very hard to beat, mate, because those players won't be... you know, they won't be taken aback by the size of the occasion. They will have been there and done it before.
You wouldn't think so. We've touched on the Bronx. Oh, this looks like it could be an absolute cricket score, but it also could be a dog of a game, because the Titans have had a few games where they've turned over possession, and the Bronx have been the same. So this is a bit of a toss of the coin. I'm not sure I'm going to be making this an appointment viewing, but we'll see how we go.
No, if you want to take the missus out for dinner on a Saturday night, do it this weekend, mate, because that could turn into anything. Even though we've said that, I've said I don't see the Broncos making the eight, I can't see them not having too many points in them against the Titans. Obviously, they've copped an absolute bollocking during the week. Man's been dropped, etc. But the Titans will be there to play. I just don't think they've got enough firepower, mate. So the Broncos by plenty. But if you miss it and spend the night with the missus, you might get a few brownie points up your sleeve.
Yep, that's the plan. Okay, we go to Sunday. Tigers, Panthers. Panthers close to full strength. Tigers get more troops back. They're starting to come pretty close to being full strength as well. Did you see enough from them last weekend to suggest that they can be any sort of chance in this game?
Look, mate, Twal and Dewey are two major outs. So while everything else is close, obviously Taylor May's going to be out for a few weeks as well. So while they've got a couple coming back, they're three key outs. So the short answer is no, mate. A short answer is I think Penrith full strength, which they are, even though they'll have one eye on Origin 2, similar to the Roosters players, I think they'll be too strong for them. But this is another one of those experience games for the Tigers. You're coming up against the best. Let's test ourselves, even out without two of probably what's been their best players in Dewey and Twal. Let's see where they're at. This is a bit of a measuring stick for the Tigers. So while I don't expect them to win, I do expect them to put a fair shake up and test themselves against the best in the league, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this next game, given the hot and cold nature of the Sharks and, you know, the potentially more players moving on, as good as they were in patches last week, the Sharks, I think the Dragons are a massive show again. If the alter ego of Sharks turn up like they have been every other week this year, then, yeah, the Dragons will be in this one up to their eyeballs.
Yeah, mate, I think this result's going to be on Cronulla. So if Cronulla turn up, I think they're going to be too strong at home. But if they don't, then the Dragons will certainly give a fair shake themselves. The big news here for mine are the two hookers. So Brayley out for the Sharks. I think that's a massive, massive hole, and I don't think we truly understand how big. On the back of obviously Nico Hines being out for a while, there's going to be a huge focus on Braden Trindle to see he carries that team around and really directs traffic. So that's a big out. And then on the flip side of that, St. George have got Jacob Little on the bench finally. The poor fella just cannot take a break with injuries.
Yeah,
you heard Young talk during the week about how amazing Cook's been playing every minute of every game. And for his age, it's just been a phenomenal effort. But to have Little the way this ruck's going at the moment to come in the back end of halves could really ignite that young forward pack. So, mate, I think if Cronulla turn up, I think they might be a little bit too hard to beat. But if they're just a little bit off, missing Brayley and Nico, the Dragons could go two from two, which is... staggering. I will be buying grand final tickets.
Is it amazing? One week in NRL just changes everything. Like, you're up and about. I mean, it could just as likely be an absolute cricket score where the Sharks blow them away. But, if you look at, like, I mean, I thought the Dragons were primed to beat the Warriors, and actually at times in that game they started to play up the middle like we saw in their win on the weekend, but just didn't probably stick with it long enough. I think they're definitely heading in the right direction, and certainly, if you're a Dragons fan, you're looking forward to next year with the trips they've got coming. The only thing is, the Sharks have got a few big names back. Obviously, Nicker is back after Origin, but Kale Iroh is back. Oregon Kafusi, I mean, they'll miss Brayley, no doubt, but some of their bigger names back. All right, let's get to the game of the weekend. This is, what are we talking? Is it 15th versus 16th?
It could be, I think, off air, mate. Yeah. It's one of those games where they always say on Anzac Day, no matter where the Dragons and Roosters are coming, it's always a good game. Well, I call bullshit on that because we've popped an ass in the last decade. But, look, they'll both put a good show on. It's a public holiday down there for you guys. I believe so. They'll put a big show on. The interesting one for me is Karaz at fullback. Word is that he hasn't pulled up very well at training. So Connor Tracy has been named in 22 on the extended bench. So they've obviously got some backup there if Karaz doesn't pull through. But he's been phenomenal for them for the last 2 weeks. Yes. I know there's a lot of Supercoach guys that have followed Karaz in, especially on the back of him playing fullback, that will be in tears to see his hamstring go again. So hopefully that's not the case, and for Canterbury and for the game's sake, he's out there. But I think a lot of it rests on his shoulders at the moment because the pressure on the halves from the Bulldogs just isn't going away. So Karaz just, you know, really gets them going from the backfield and just takes that pressure off them, gets the momentum going forward. But, mate, I can see Para winning here, mate. I can see you boys getting a win there.
I think you go either way. You're right with Karaz. It's interesting, both Crichton and Karaz named, despite the fact that there have been whispers around that both of them could be out for an extended period. Yeah. Karaz has been huge to the point that he's got to be in Origin calculations if they make a decision if they move away from any of the guys they've got there, or even bringing him onto the extended bench. He's been that good. Meter eating. We talked about the offloads. Yeah, unbelievable. The thing is that you look at those two sides, you still look at them and go, the Dogs should lap them, because Paro just so lacking star quality. They've got like a couple of guys who are better than Handy, but they're still just look at that forward pack, for example. It's just a no-name forward pack and some really good young kids who are going to be better in a year or two or longer. But, mate, the fact that we're talking about this potentially being a close game and you even thinking they'll get across the line, it just shows how far the Dogs have fallen.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of it, mate. There's no doubt that on paper Canberra should win and should win comfortably. But you've seen the last few weeks that they're just not right. You know, I thought it was pretty poor form last week's game. Galvin was booed every single time he touched the ball, which is fine, no problems. That's part of the gig. But to see Crichton have a dip at him during the game, you know, everyone carries on that Crichton's the best leader in the game. Well, for him to have a go at Galvin like that when the crowd's just been giving it to him for 80 minutes, I thought that showed really poor leadership. You wouldn't get that from, you know, you wouldn't get that from Yeo, or you wouldn't get that from Cook, or you wouldn't get that from Reynolds up here in Brisbane. So to see that from Crichton, to me, that just shows that there's more than a few spine players missing from Bulldogs to make them a goer. I think there's bigger problems at Canterbury, and they need to fix the culture real, real quick, or this is just going to continue to fester, mate.
Yeah, I agree. The trust seems to have been eroded. We saw about him giving Galvin a spray going back about 4 weeks for a bad read in defence. Then we saw the next week Crichton then not trusting Lockie and came in when he should have stayed out. It cost him another try last week. Mind you, to the naked eye, for all money, he's just dropped that. He's just landed and the ball spilled out. It looked like a loose carry. So I can't be too critical of Crichton in that one. But, yeah, there's obviously something's not quite right. And the coach in particular in the press conference looked particularly under pressure, questioning some referee decisions that just like, yeah, they were just – I would just write decisions, so a lot of them. So I think, there's plenty going on there. My only concern is we got up for him in the first round. It was the reunion of the 86 grand final. The old boys were there. Like, what have we got here? It'll be interesting to see. My faith is not, I'm not up and about like you after a win, that's for sure. Okay. All right. Let's, what do we get from here?
Game of the round.
Game of the round, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, if it was a full-strength Tigers, I would have loved to have seen that Tigers-Panthers game, but full Tigers are missing a couple. So for mine, that Raiders-Roosters Friday night at 8 p.m, I think that's going to be an absolute cracking game of footy, mate.
For me, Saturday night, I'm back in the Cows to bounce back against a very impressive Dolphins team, and that could be an absolute cracker of the two, probably the two best place Queensland teams at the moment. I like both of them where they're playing well, and hopefully that one lives up to the expectations. Mm. Upset of the round. Looks like you've already gone with yours for Para.
Yeah, well, mate, you know, I was trying to be nice to you, mate. Look, I like a couple, truth be told. I could see a number of these games going 50-50. Probably the Raiders. That's really tight on the market by the looks of it, but probably the Raiders. And I don't mind Souths with a couple of those players back. While Manly have been going well, they've been, you know, whether they just plateau for a week or two here and just settle in a little bit. But, yeah, if I had to go with one, mate, I like the Raiders to knock over the Roosters.
Oh, my upset is the Dogs beating the Eels. No, I'm joking. no, I like the Rabbits as well. Actually, that's a really good shout. But I'm going to go for the Dragons to double up and on a bit of a roll. There's got to be some confidence that's come out of that performance. We talked about it earlier in the year. They never looked that far out of away from a win. Obviously, they hit a bit of a hole there when things started to go a bit wrong at the end of Flano's time there, but they seem to be building again nicely, and those young blokes playing with so much confidence, I'm backing them to go again. Lock of the week, mate. Who do you like?
Oh, lock of the week. I've got to go with Penrith, mate, that we mentioned. I know that's an easy lock to pick with the way Penrith are going. I just think they're going to have a little bit too much. And if I had to go with someone else, it would be the Broncos, mate. I think they've copped plenty in the media. If they can't turn up and put in a good performance against the Titans, you know, Saturday night it'll be a packed house at Suncorp. I think there'll be major issues. So I like Panthers and Broncos this week, mate. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm the same. That's the lock for me is the Broncos, especially after you've given them such a spray earlier in the episode and said that they're gone. I guarantee they will win.
Enjoy this win. I'm calling it a few and far between after this one.
Yeah. The other thing to look out for is there some Origin jerseys up for grabs? You would think after the performance that Loz will be looking at players. There's always injuries. It's very rare that the squad sticks together the whole way through. There's certainly some issues with Ezra Mam being pushed back to the bench for the Broncos. So will he retain his spot? So there's plenty to look out for from that perspective as well as we head into game two.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. It'll be a big week. Obviously, there'll be some force changes with some injuries, suspensions, the Carrigans of the world, and then people that are fit this time around, like Payne Haas, etc., Mitchell Moses. So next Monday's episode will be an absolute bumper. We'll talk about some of these cracking matches we're going to see this weekend and dive into some of the State of Origin team talk.
Yep. With a bit of luck, we'll actually have a fan. Seeing the Warriors fans were all talk, but then when a push come to shove and I'm actually committing to coming on, they've gone soft. So we might try for another fan base now instead. I know there's a bit of controversy in the Para podcasters at the moment. One of the podcasters has been banned, had his membership revoked, mate.
Is that right?
Oh, mate, unbelievable. It's pretty poor form from the club from what I've seen. But there's always someone who wants to have a say. We've just got to get someone to actually show up. So we'll see how we go. See you next week, mate.
Cheers, all.